Assalamualaikum. We'd like to start the English majlis at this time. We'd like to request those that are in the middle hall and those outside to kindly make their way in, as we'd like to start the program at this time. Salawat on Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Have our brother Shazib come up, read us a small surah before we start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووزعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإنما العسر يسرا إنما العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
MashaAllah, very good job. Salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I will have Brother Hassan read these kisah for us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fatima Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet, peace be upon them, is to have thus related an event. My father, the Prophet of Allah, came to my house one day and said to me, peace be on you, Fatima, our pride and upon you be peace. Then he said, I feel weakness in my body. I said, Allah protects you from weakness, father. He said, Fatima, please bring the Yemeni cloak and cover me with it. So I brought the Yemeni cloak and covered him with it. Then I looked at him and saw that his face was shining like a full moon with its glory and splendor. After a while, my son Hassan came in and said, peace be on you, mother. I replied, and upon you be peace, O light of my eyes and the delight of my heart. He then said, mother, I smell a fragrance so sweet and so pure as that of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, yes, your grandfather is lying underneath the cloak. Hassan went near the cloak and said, peace be on you, my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? I replied, and upon you be peace, my son and the master of my fountain, Kothar. I give him the permission to enter. So Hassan entered the cloak with him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
After a while, my son Hussein came in and said, peace be on you, mother. I replied, and upon you be peace, O light of my eyes and the delight of my heart. He then said, mother, I smell a sweet fragrance like that of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, yes, your grandfather and your brother are lying underneath the cloak. Hussein stepped towards the cloak and said, peace be on you, my grandfather, the chosen of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? I replied, and upon you be peace, my son, and the interceder of my followers who are given the permission to enter. So Hussein entered the cloak with them. After a while, Abul Hassan Ali ibn Abi Talib came in and said, peace be on you, O daughter of the Prophet of Allah. I replied, and upon you be peace, O father of Hassan and the commander of the faithful. He then said, Fatima, I smell a sweet fragrance like that of my brother, my cousin, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, yes, he's underneath the cloak with your two sons. So Ali went near the cloak and said, peace be on you, Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, and upon you be peace, my brother, my legatee, my successor, and my standard bearer. And I'm given the permission to enter. So Ali entered the cloak with them. Then I stepped forward and said, peace be on you, my father, O Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, and upon you be peace, my daughter, O part of myself. You are given the permission to enter. So I entered the cloak with them. Getting together underneath the cloak, my father, the Prophet of Allah, held the two ends of the cloak and raised his right hands towards the heavens and prayed, O Allah, these are the people of my household, Ahlul Bayt. They are my confidence and my supporters. Their flesh is my flesh and their blood is my blood. Whoever hurts them hurts me too. Whoever displeases them displeases me too. I am at war with those who are at war with them. I am at peace with those who are at peace with them. I am the enemy of their enemies and I am the friend of their friends. They are from me and I am from them. O Allah, bestow your blessings, benevolence, forgiveness, and your pleasure upon me and upon them, and remove impurity from them and keep them thoroughly pure. Then the Lord Almighty Allah said, O my angels, O residents of my heavens, verily I have not created the record sky, the stretched earth, the illuminated moon, the bright sun, the rotating planets, the flowing seas, and the sailing ships, but for the love of these five lying underneath the cloak. Jibril, the trusted angel, asked, who are under the cloak? The Almighty answered, they are the household of the Prophet and the assets of Prophethood. They are Fatima, her father, her husband, and her two sons. Jibril said, O Lord, may I fly to earth to be the sixth of them? Allah replied, yes, you are given the permission. Jibril, the trusted, landed near them and said, peace be on you, O Prophet of Allah. the Highest conveys His peace on you and His greetings and says, by my honor and glory, O my angels, O residents of my heavens, verily I have not created the erected sky, the chaste earth, the illuminated moon, the bright sun, the rotating planets, the flowing seas, and the sailing ships before your sake and love. God has given me permission to enter the cloak with you. May I join you, O Prophet of Allah? The Prophet replied, and peace be upon you, O trusted bearer of Allah's revelations. You are granted the permission. So Jibreel entered the cloak with us and said to my father, Allah sends His revelations to you. Verily Allah's desire is to remove blemish from you, O people of the household Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with a perfect purification. Then Ali said to my father, O Prophet of Allah, tell me, what significance has Allah given for getting together underneath this cloak? The Prophet replied, by Him who rightfully appointed me a prophet and chose me a messenger for the salvation of the mankind, whenever and wherever an assembly of our followers and friends mention this event, Allah will bestow on them His blessings and mercy. Angels will encircle them, asking Allah the remission of their sins until the assembly disperses. So Ali said, verily, by the Lord of the Kaaba, we and our followers are the winners. Then my father replied, by Him who rightfully appointed me a prophet and chose me a messenger for the salvation of the mankind, whenever and wherever an assembly of our followers and friends mention this event, there shall remain none grieved, but Allah will remove his grief. There shall remain none distressed, but Allah will dispel his distress. There shall remain none with secret, but Allah will grant his wish. Ali happily said, verily by the Lord of the Kaaba, we and our followers are the winners and the blessed in this world and the next.
Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Aznan, for that wonderful rendition of Hadith Al-Qisah. Salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Now we'll have Brother Asghar come up and read us a small poem.
Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala.
I'm going to be reading a poem labeled Let Us Return to the Day of Ashura, written by Sayyid Ali Musbi. Salawat. Let us return to the Day of Ashura. Let us return to the day where the whole world is in azab. Let us return to the Day of Karbala. Let us return to the land in which is answered the dua. On that red hot and sunny day, upon the sands Hussein's body lay, and his head placed up on top of a spear, surely this event made the whole world shed a tear. For this was the one who was the prophet, was so dear, if not the Rasul, if not the Batul, then who did the enemy fear? Some of the enemy headed towards the camp and forces, while others decide to trample upon Hussein's chest with their horses. We, the Shia, shall pledge till our last ever breath, we shall remember Hussein's tragic death. They thought they had accomplished their mission. Did they not realize that this was the start of Hussein's revolution? If you seek salvation, then visit Hussein, for he guides the true one to the straight and narrow lane. For the one who kisses Hussein's dust, for his heart shall never, ever rust. For he has become so clean and pure as he receives Hussein's cure. Salawat.
MashaAllah. Now before we start the majlis, I'd like to request all of you to kindly move forward as much as possible so we have proper majlis etiquette. And we leave some room for others who come a little bit later. It's a Saturday night, so inshallah we're expecting a full house. So please kindly move forward, fill up the green space in front of you. Kindly put your cell phones on silent so we don't disturb the majlis while it's going on. For any volunteers who would like to read the Hadith Al-Qisah or Nohas, please kindly see me after the majlis. For the sisters, we have overflow into the basement, so if you need some more room, with your young kids, you're welcome to go into the basement. And if anyone would like to make any contributions towards the tabarruk, you can see myself, Sister Taysin, Sister Masuma Shirazi. Now without further ado, I'd like to request Maulana to take the members. Salawat for Muhammad, wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, wa ali Muhammad.
forms.
Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتحدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد حمت به وحمى بها لولا أن رعى برهان ربي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلاة محمد وعلى محمد The necessity for God has been our ongoing topic. Tonight is lecture number 9. Our attempt since last weekend has been to discuss not the necessity of God, but rather for God. We're not here trying to prove God to anybody. I'm not having a discussion on theology here, nor am I presenting proofs of God to any of you. But there is a massive difference between accepting His existence and making Him the pivotal point of our life. And so we've talked about a lot of things together. And the past couple of nights, we really got to the crux of the issue. I talked to all of you in the beginning of the ashra and said a lot of muqaddamai things, those initial ingredients were important to actually make the dish. And so we reached to this 7, 8, and 9 nights, the weekend before Ashura, which really is the crux of my message. 2 nights ago, we talked about the idea that the necessity for God initially is the fact that He can actually understand our struggle, our pain. A lot of my youth today, they end up asking themselves, sometimes asking people like me, that I wonder if anyone truly knows what I'm going through. Does anybody understand my pain? How hard it is to be me? How difficult it is to live even one day in this world? And the reality is, and I'm not here to, you know, to present a Disney film to all of you, the reality is sometimes there is nobody that will understand your pain. And you wait for your parents, or if you're married, you wait for your spouse, you wait for your child, you wait for your best friend to come in, acknowledge your pain, your struggles, and no one does. Because either they're going through their own problems, or they can't see it, you're hiding it way too well. And that's when I presented that verse, or the portion of the verse from Surah Nisa, where Allah now compares two people, the Mujahideen and the Qa'ideen. The one who struggles, the one who sits and does nothing. The one who has scars, the one who has either emotional scars or physical scars, to one now who does not do anything. Nonchalant, heedless, unimportant, I'm good where I am, I don't want to improve myself. He says, فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ مُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ قَاعِدِينَ The one who struggles, the one who has the scars to prove it, actually in the eyes of Allah are أَفْضَل, higher, the one who's قَاعِدِينَ. Sits and does nothing. And so we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not only acknowledge our scars and our wounds, But then he says, the one who is a mujahid or a mujahida, for them, ajrun azeema. There's a grand reward for them. That was two nights ago. Last night we talked about the idea that what? That the necessity for God comes in the idea that He is the one that provides us a very beautiful distinction between what to attach ourselves to and what to detach ourselves from. We had a whole discussion yesterday about the idea that sometimes people like me attach myself to the wrong entity, thinking that it is baqi, eternal, thinking that that's where my salvation is, and I pour every ounce of my energy, invest all of my time in this what? In this fleeting, sinking Titanic, assuming it's going to give me salvation, only to find out 20, 30 years later that it is what? I'm drowning, just like the ship is drowning. Allah says, detach, detach, detach. And then when you identify that I'm the one to attach to, and this is a very important point from last night, was the fact that when I tell you that now detach from these things that are fleeting, that are what? Kullu man alayha fan, Surah Rahman. Everything now in this world will perish. Once you attach yourself to me, I will then bring those things back to you. That was a key point from yesterday. So people who chase money, who chase wealth, who chase, you know, sasti shu'ara, cheap fame, their 15 seconds of fame, right? Sell their soul out, rip their hijab off for a couple of new followers on Instagram. These are people who are chasing and attaching themselves to the wrong things. If you want that glory, you want that respect, attach yourself to Allah, let Allah find that glory for you. And He will. He will. Leave the respect up to me. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ. The izzah belongs to Allah. He will now distribute to whoever now is there in terms of their respect. So identifying what to detach from, attach to, is a necessity for God. And that brings me to tonight. Before that, anas salawat salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And one thing that we need Allah constantly for are two things, and these are simultaneous, I mean at the exact same time. Allah provides for us a long-term vision and a short-term motivation. Allah plays the long game with us and the short game with us as well. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do we need Him? Not believe in Him, I need Him. I need Him to have that constant target, that constant purpose, that constant goal in my path. Remember, and I'm sure you have not forgotten, you guys don't forget my lectures. There's no way you forget my lectures. We memorize them all, Malana. The very first majlis I read for you all the way back Friday, felt like 5 years ago for some of you. We talked about the idea that how could it be that 50 years after their beloved Prophet passes away, they do this to the beloved of the Holy Prophet? How could it be? And we talked about many things, but one thing was that during the Prophet's time, when these individuals were beside the Prophet, they had a goal in mind. Please follow this point very carefully. I'll repeat it again and again. They had a goal in mind. Establish the deen. Fight after kuffar. Do all these things. And they were completely ready to what? To submit, to sacrifice, to do anything. We'll go to war with you, Ya Rasulullah. We'll go to Shibr Abu Talib. We'll leave Mecca and go to Medina. We'll do all that. We'll leave our family. No problem. Because we have a goal in mind. And they thought with the death of the Holy Prophet and the Sharia now being kamil, the Quran being complete, everything now coming down, the purpose now was met. And when you believe your purpose is met, you become a little bit complacent. Okay, I'm done now. I'm good. I can relax a little bit. And that complacency now moved them away from their goal. Their goal wasn't to establish the deen of Allah. The goal was to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had individuals on that side on the day of Karbala who were responsible for the killing of Imam Hussein that were very much beside the Holy Prophet. 50 years is not a long time. It's not. So when you don't have that constant goal in mind, the constant summit of the mountain in front of you, you become complacent, or God forbid, you turn your energy inward. I turn my energy inward. So now we talk about those things. Remember, individualism, escapism, all these things we talked about, what, in the third or fourth of Muharram, which are barriers to the idea of the necessity for God, all those come into play. A lot of you ask, last night outside, over a nice cup of tea, I had a great conversation with a couple of brothers and talked about the fact, okay, when will that goal end? What is that goal? I'm good with my salat. I've somewhat perfected my awwal waqt. I keep my fast. Then what do I do? Because the moment that we say I've reached God, that's a problem for me. I'm good now, right? I've reached God. And that's the beauty in it. A lot of you might think, well, it's an endless goal. I mean, what's the point of me even having this journey, this marathon, if there's no finish line? And there's beauty behind that. There's wisdom behind that. There's tarbiyah behind that. He doesn't want you to finish the climb. He wants you to climb until you can't anymore. Because he knows that the moment that we stop climbing and we start pushing towards him, then we become, God forbid, like those who are complacent, who are heedless, who don't have a goal, who walk around aimless. Have you seen people in this day and age who have no goals, who have no motivation? Aimless, purposeless, looking for something to fill their time. I know guys that play video games for 6 hours straight. Bro, really, 6 hours straight? Yeah, but it's at night, Milana, when the kids are asleep and the wife is asleep. How do you get up for namaz? How do you do your work the next day? I'm not exaggerating. 6 hours of video games. These are not 10-year-old kids. These are grown men who are fathers. It's embarrassing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary for the continuous long-term vision. To say, you know what, I have to constantly work towards him. And not only that, but the daily motivation. I've said it before, I'll say it again. And don't be upset at me. You've been very good with me. Don't turn on me before Ashura. Doing Hajj in your lifetime once is easy. It's easy. If you can do it, you save money, you write a check, you go to Hajj, you do your 3 weeks, you come back, and you're done for your life. For your life, you're done. That's easy enough. It's the daily salat, the daily akhlaq, the daily dhikr, the daily that are very, very difficult. To find that motivation, to continuously be good every single day, and strive to be better every single day is a daunting task. And you can't achieve that motivation without God. Daily motivation, long-term vision. To always have that summit in front of you. I need to get there. Even in my 90s, get there. Never stop striving. Never stop striving. So I want to expand on that tonight by looking at two verses from Surah Luqman. You know I'm going to say it. I say it every single night. Just start moving before I ask you, please. Let's move up, please. I don't want to see green spots. I want to see black everywhere. You guys are good. You guys are good. The ones in the middle, yeah. Please, people are rolling in, mashallah. Please, come right in. Come right to the right to the left, please. Relax, take your time. You're not going anywhere. You're mine for at least 45 minutes. You're stuck with me. There's big green barriers in the back. You can't go anywhere. Ya Ali. Ya Ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I talked about the idea that when we have a goal in mind, we're focused towards that goal. And when we don't understand what we're doing here, then we become aimless. It's a very common difficulty amongst our kids today. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. What does God want from me, Malana? What is this world? What am I supposed to be doing exactly? So I give them a long list of things. Yeah, that's all great, but what else am I supposed to be doing? And I want to address that today, because that will segue nice into my series finale tomorrow. I'm here for Soyam. You're not quite free of me just yet. Wednesday is my last majlis. But that's a standalone discussion that I have. Part of this topic, tomorrow is our last discussion. Monday, of course, is Ashura. That's only Musibah. Surah Luqman is the 31st chapter of the Quran. Luqman was not a prophet, he was a hakim. His wisdom was so liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him a surah in the Quran, or named a chapter after him. That's a better way of putting it. 34 verses in the surah, halfway down the verse, the surah, around 17, 18, is when he begins his very famous advice to his son. Ya Bunayya, he begins these verses. Oh my son. A few of the lines of advice are in the Quran, the rest of them we get from Ahadith. And they're beautiful, beautiful piece of advice given by Luqman. Books have been written, series, lectures, ulama have done a lot of work on Luqman's wisdom. I want to focus on three things. The first thing he tells his son, not the first thing, I'm sorry. Part of the first verse that he says to his son is, La tamshi fil ardi maraha. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhura. Let's break this down. First thing he says to his son, do not walk on this land. La tamshi fil ardi maraha. Like you own the place. Like you are somebody, like you think you're somebody. Like you think you're exalted. Like you have some rutbah, some level, some maqam in the eyes of yourself. Don't walk around like that. Inna Allah la yuhibbul kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Let's examine mukhtalin and fakhur here a little bit. Allah does not love the one who's a self-conceiting boaster. Walks around talking about himself or herself. Constantly praising herself or himself. Looking for some way in the conversation to stick in a compliment of themselves. And some people have mastered that. We'll talk about topic A, somehow they'll make it about themselves. Topic B, no connection whatsoever. All because they like the shabashi and the taliyah, and they like the idea of good, great, great job, good job. It points to the ujba inside of us, right? The narcissist inside of us. But fakhur comes from fakhr. Fakhr is okay. Fakhur is empty pride. If fakhr is pride, fakhur is hollow pride. Unearned pride. Meritless pride. So naturally, God is saying, if I don't love these people, I love the humble ones. That's the natural conclusion you get from this verse, correct? Now both of them have extremes, and I want to talk about those extremes in the beginning. And we'll get to the verse right after, where he says, وَقْصِدْ فِي الْمَشْيِكْ وَغَظُزْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. These two are very important. Walk with purpose and lower your voice. And these two have a beautiful connection that's not apparently known when you look at the tradition of the Quran. Let's break it down through tafsir. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. The one extreme is that people like me walk around like I am somebody. The hollow pride. I do one small little thing, and I feel like I've taken the mountains by storm. And if you look at the traditions of the Ahl al-Bayt, you'll see that one thing that I want my young guys to understand is the Ahl al-Bayt that you follow, the imams that you have been taught to love, are imams that have always presented the deen to be balanced. One of our fundamental problems that we have in our masajid, in our families, is extremism. There are either individuals who go all the way this way in terms of their deen. Everything now to them is haram. They stop doing this, they stop doing that. Living in America has become very difficult for them, right? To them, the TV is haram. To them, a restaurant is haram. To them, a drive-thru is haram. To them, everything is haram. And not just for them, but for everybody else as well. So if I walk in with a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, Ya Allah, you Malana? I understand these kids, but you're drinking this haram liquid? I said, haram liquid? I start smelling it, I'm like, it's a coffee. Dunkin' Donuts. They put this, they put that. They have a pig in the back, apparently. I don't know what they have. I'm like, where? I didn't see one. People who make their life difficult, everyone else's life difficult. Right, every week you have one new email now. This chocolate, those chips, that gum, all haram, Ya Allah. Our kids are entering the pantry out. You didn't get the new email, Baba, it's all haram, it's all haram. That's one extreme. The other extreme, mashallah, is, yeah, Muslim by name. Bare minimum. And you look at the idea that the Ahl al-Bayt have addressed both of them. And in this issue of pride and humility, there's also two extremes. Please follow me. The pride makes sense. I don't have to explain all that to you. People who are too proud, people who like to sound their own voice, people who just kind of list off their accomplishments, that's fine. And those people are known, they're annoying, they're irritated, you don't want to be around them, that's fine, they have their own jihad. It's this side that I want to focus on a little bit. And that is sometimes being too humble. Please follow me. Humility has its limits. It gets to a point sometimes where we actually become so humble in our eyes that we actually deny a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you a simple example, if you don't mind. There's young men in all of our communities that have beautiful voices. Quran, Adhan, Dua, beautiful. You know them, you recognize them. Do your best to ask them to recite Quran before, du'as before, after Salat, the Adhan, for example. Right? But imagine now a young man now being gifted a beautiful voice to give Adhan. Worked very hard at his Qir'at and his Tajweed. Went to classes. Recites Quran beautifully. To the point when he recites, everyone stops to listen. So he becomes a bridge between him and between them and the Quran. That's a beautiful place to be. That's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you ask them to recite the Quran, oh, who am I? I'm nothing, I'm zero. This Quran is above me. I'm a sinful servant. How can I even open the page of the Quran? These hands are sinful hands. That's humble, it's great, it's very noble. It's to the point now where you are actually now denying sometimes a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become so humble in front of others to the point where it's borderline to the point where we are zaleel in front of them. Allah says you have to have a balance between pride, your own self-confidence, and humbleness. I've seen people speak to the educated ones, the scholars sometimes, teachers, let's say, for example, professors, and they're joking like they're doing ruku at that moment. Huzur, huzur, bowing down, Baba, stand up, it's good to have respect. Let's maintain your self-respect a little bit. Find that fine balance. And I'll give an example from Salat. Again, one more time if you don't mind. Last time I'll ask you, please move a little bit forward. The middle ground, if you don't mind. To the left or to the right, please. People are rolling in, please, if you don't mind. Right to the, if you can. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. So it's possible. I feel like I've lost you guys at that point. And I get it. It sounds weird. I'll give you an example and you'll understand. Okay? There's a fine, fine line, and this is a little bit of my trailer for tomorrow's series finale, is that what Allah now brings to us is a sense of self-confidence and self-respect. And we need that. That's tomorrow, inshallah. Sometimes I think in the name of humility, we go a little bit too far. I say this now hoping that nobody takes me the wrong way. That I'm going to stop being humble from tomorrow. No, of course not. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you don't need to sit there and stop yourself from getting the thawab of Allah or be a connector towards a group of people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you a very simple example. I've been quoting this book all Ashra long, Imam Khomeini's Adab al-Salat, a masterpiece. In his chapter on Qiyam, standing in Salat, I've never heard a scholar talk about standing in Salat to this depth. He has a whole chapter on just standing. Not qiraat, just standing. And he says this, and it's a profound point. He says standing sometimes has multiple meanings to it. The actual act of standing. And I'll give an example. Let's say, for example, you're at a function. Let's say you're at a wedding, okay? A nice, segregated, non-music, halal, where you can invite me and I'll actually come, those kind of weddings, inshallah. You're sitting with your friends. Somebody comes to you during the wedding, God forbid, and begins to insult you and your family, confront you. You're sitting down, this guy standing up, he goes off on you, raising his voice, insulting you, challenging you. The first thing that as somebody will say to you is, bro, don't take that. Sitting down. You stand up, you don't say a word, you simply stand up. Please follow the example. You simply stand up and you face him. And by doing that, what you're announcing to him without saying a word, what you're saying to him is that, look, that's enough. You've made your point, turn around and walk away. By standing up, you've announced the fact that I am somebody, I have some self-respect, I need you to stop talking, walk away. That's one. In the same wedding, at the same tables with your same friends, an alim walks in. What do? Hopefully, you stand up. But this time, the same act of standing, this time you do it out of respect for the alim. One act of standing, two separate meanings, and might I say, two very extremely different meanings. One is your humbleness, one is your pride. So now Imam Khomeini brings it back to Salat. Oh, it's so beautiful. Now he says, when you stand facing Qibla, both of them come into play. Number one is you stand in front of your creator, humble. Our Akam says it's good to what? To stand where you are a little bit lowered. When you stand like this, it's locked, right? You're a little bit lowered. Your head is down, your hands are on your thighs or on your side, you're looking towards your third one. That's all mustahab, right? Not wajib, all mustahab. At the same time, you're standing in front of Allah, announcing Allah, Allah, I belong here. I choose to be here. I have the right to be here. Allama Tusi would circle a date on his calendar. And would every single year take a moment to recognize that date. What is that date? Don't say his birthday. And don't say his wedding anniversary. That's people like me. What date was that? The day he turned baligh. He recognizes that day. Celebrates that day. Why? On that day, he says, I was worthy of Allah's Sharia. I was worthy of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when you stand in Salat, yes, you're humble. You, who are you in front of your Lord? The Imams would shake during wudu, absolutely. But that same act of standing now is announcing, Allah, Allah, I've chosen to be here in this mihrab. I belong here, I'm one of your servants, and I am the one now who is celebrating. A lot of pride, I have pride. Remember the master discussion I had a few nights ago? That statement by Imam Ali, nothing is more bigger for my izzah than the fact that I am your abd. So when you stand in the mihrab as a humble servant, you're also standing there as a proud servant as well. And both are possible by one act of standing, provided both of them have a correct definition. The first thing that he says to his son, and I think verse number 18, is don't walk around like you own the place. God doesn't like this hollow pride, but don't be so humble that now you are zaleel in front of people. There are people right now listening to me in this building and that building who have toxic people around them. People around them that have narcissistic behavior, pinching comments, passive aggressive comments, to the point where if they know that this person will be at that gathering, there's a pit in the stomach. You know what? I don't want to go. Why? I have a headache. You go ahead. You take the kids and go. I'm going to be okay. To the point where if they're invited to a dinner da'wah, they'll ask the host, who else is coming? Is it just us? No, I invited that person, this family, and that family. When they hear that family, you know what? You go ahead. Now, if it's a person who's not family, easy enough. Kind of fade them out. But when it's a family, a cousin of yours, a sibling of yours, an in-law of yours, how do you navigate through that? And a lot of you, me too sometimes, we think, oh, Sila Rahim means let them come and walk all over me. Let them say whatever they want to me. Let them make comments about how I raise my kids. Let them comment about how much weight I've gained. Let them comment about the suit I'm wearing. Let them sit there and make pinching comments, passive-aggressive comments. They get a cheap laugh at my expense, right? But hey, she's blood, he's blood, Malana. I can't say anything. And that is an extreme that's wrong. I'm forcing at you that you're like, what's this guy saying up here? The bare minimum level of Sila Rahim, Hadith now, not me, the Prophet of Allah says, is salam, how are you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The bare minimum level of Sila Rahim is salam, how are you? The deen does not ask you to be zaleel in front of anybody, to be embarrassed or a doormat in front of anybody, to be degraded in front of anybody. If you want to be zaleel in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why it's mustahab to have a sajdagah for your nose? Or for my nose, two sajdagahs? It's because the ultimate level of disrespect for a person is you rub their nose in dirt, correct? You've heard it before. What are we doing? We're going to sajda, we're putting our forehead and we're rubbing our nose in dirt. But we're doing that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In front of others, we have to have some self-respect. And there's a fine line, I get it, you're looking at me weird, I know. Fine line between self-respect and self-worship. Like, that's all I talk about. People who've heard me for years, you know. That's all I talk about. I'm not gonna talk about that, I promise. But I am saying that we blurred the lines a little bit. We think because they're blood, I can go ahead and be stepped all over. I can be the butt of their jokes. I can be, you know, their target constantly. Every Eid, every family function, every grand wedding, that's it. And after a while, you just can't take it anymore. And the reason why they pick on you is because you're quiet, you're sharif, and your sharafat is working against you. And so you think that, well, I have to be quiet, it's siriram, they're blood, I have to. You don't. That's the level of humility Allah is saying, don't, have some respect. If that means that you place boundaries around them, place boundaries around them. There are some of us who have toxic people in our families. That's the reality of it. We all have a little bit of crazy in our family. Don't act like you don't. We all do. The bigger the family, the more the crazy. Alhamdulillah. That's how it is. Sometimes people think, oh, I wish we had family here, you know, my family's in India, Pakistan. I go, bro, just be careful what you ask for, man. Just be careful. It's the five of you. Enjoy Eid, the five of you. When there's 65 of you, it's tough to navigate through that, man. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the first advice is no hollow pride. At the same time, no degrading humility. Find that balance. And tomorrow, this point will be very, very, inshallah, concrete for all of you when I really bring that point home for all of you. That's the first. Come to the next verse. وَقْصِدْ فِي الْمَشْيِكِ وَغْضُزْ مِنْ صَوْتِكِ. Walk with a purpose and lower your voice. Let's talk about the first one. Walking with a purpose. Obviously, does not mean the walk from here to your car in the parking lot. It means living your life with a purpose, having a goal in mind, knowing what you want to achieve. My young guys out there, you have to find your purpose. You have to find your goal. What does that mean? That's so open-ended. The first thing I want you to do is understand that Islam has given you all the tools. Stop looking for a co-signer when it comes to your religion. What does that mean? That if person A says something about Islam, right, who's not a Muslim, and he says exactly what Imam Ali said, all of a sudden now Imam Ali's hadith has more weight in my eyes. That's a co-signer. Oh, Oprah said that? Oh, then that hadith is right. I go, Oprah's your sanad right now? Oh, Jordan Peterson talked about this? Oh, then of course it must be right. That's called a co-signer. But we don't believe in our own deen until somebody who's a non-Muslim says, bro, your deen is good, man. Oh, it is? Okay, good. I got my co-signer. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. We need a little bit more pride from all of you. A little bit more confidence in what you believe in. This madhab, the Shia madhab, has gone through everything. We have no business being as strong as we are today in this world. No business. They've burned our libraries, they've killed our ulama, they've killed our poets and our scholars. They've oppressed our imams. What haven't they done? Labeled us kafir, did all these things. All these things. Any other ideology would have been gone by now. And we keep growing and growing and growing. It's not high time that my young guys have that level of pride in the fact that your mother and your father instigated or installed inside of you the love of the Ahlul Bayt? Absolutely. This is the day to be offensive in terms of, meaning not offensive, offensive in terms of your deen. I'm not saying to establish something, I'm saying inside of you only. That day now has arrived. Salaam ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Let me make one point here while I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit everywhere. I'll come back to my topic, I promise. In the Quran. Because sometimes, you know, my young guys are stuck on numbers. Right? I have a lot to say and I'm fired up here. You have no idea what's happening right now. The young guys are stuck on trivial things. We're the minority, Mulana. Right? How come the whole world's eyes are on us? How can we be right when everyone is... We're stuck on these trivial things. Let's make one point clear from the Quran. The Quran talks about constantly. أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَفْعَلُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. The majority don't think. The majority don't act. The majority don't think. The majority doesn't do this. Which means what? The minority are enough to uphold the religion. Understand my point, please. God is saying that even after all the majority, they don't know, they don't do, they don't think, they don't think, all that, still the deen is what? Climbing and prospering, which means all God needs is a small minority amount. 20 of you, the Quran says, is 200 of them. Provided you are firm on your path. Provided you understand, I have a purpose here. I'm walking with a purpose. Have you seen kids who build Lego sets? Roman empires could be falling around them. They don't care. They're on book 3 and they want to make sure they get their Lego done because they have a purpose. Let's get this thing built. Look, Baba, I made my castle. I made my Batmobile. That's perfect. Before that, hungry, thirsty, washroom, who cares? He's completely, absolutely focused. That's what my kids and my youth need today. You need a focus. You need a purpose, a drive. You need to find purpose in your life. Because when all the noise comes around you, there's lots of noise around you guys right now. If you don't have that purpose, you become victim to that noise. And I'm trying to block that noise from all of you. And when you're aimless, no purpose, what do I do now? Now what do I do? Now where do I go? You're going to bed at midnight, waking up at 1 p.m., mashallah, cereal at 5 p.m. What? It's summertime, I have nothing to do, Malana. The whole day is free. Be careful. Fursat is the arena of shaitan, remember that. Free time is the arena of shaitan. That's where shaitan now attacks. Doesn't attack the one who has a purpose, who has a goal, who has a mission. Absolutely not. Shaykh Mutahri rahmatullah alayh compares two generations, my respective elders and us, the young ones. Yes, I'm the young one. Two different generations. And the example he's gave, it's my favorite example, all of you know that, is the mountain. The mountain, the mountain, the mountain. Right? I'm climbing the mountain, my father is climbing the same mountain. Two generations. We're both there, about to start the climb. Right when they say begin climbing, my first eye or my first glance will be at the summit. I gotta get there. Gotta get there. Go there, plant my flag, take my selfie, climb back down. I'm good. Let's get there, let's get there, let's get there. And we're obsessed with that summit. And it's good, it's not bad. But Shaheed Mutahri says, it's great to look at the summit and be obsessed with it. But don't forget, there's a climb between you and that summit. Whereas my father, his generation, they don't even acknowledge the summit. They're saying, where is my first foot going to go? Then where is my second foot going to go? Because the beauty of God is this, He has placed the target and the summit in front of us. We know what we want. And He's in no rush for you to get there. He's in no rush for you to get there. Don't rush. God is in no rush. Tiny, meticulous, monotonous steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Provided you know where you're going. If I drive from here back to where I'm staying and I take the wrong 95 exit, or I come out of Idada and I make a right instead of a left to go back to where I'm staying, I can be going 20 miles an hour, but I'm going the wrong way. Or I could be going 120 miles an hour. Oh, I'm gonna be there any minute now. I'm gonna cut the time in half. Oh, watch, you watch what happens. You got there in 5 minutes, I'll be there in 2 minutes. Meanwhile, you're getting further and further away from your destination. I make a left, I'm on my path towards my destination, and I'm crawling. You'll get there eventually. And that's when God, like I said, God recognizes the process, not so much the result. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I've been asked from the back, please, if you can move a little bit forward. There's tons of space here on my right, please. Lots of space. People are standing in the back, if you don't mind. Can you please move a little bit forward? A bit to my right, a bit to my left, please, if you don't mind. There's lots of space in the middle here, please. Waqsud fil mashyak. Waqsud, qasd. We talked about that qasd 2 nights ago. To walk with a purpose. To have a goal in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the necessity for God is that He provides a long-term game and the short game as well. The everyday motivation to get up and pray your salat. The everyday motivation to what? To have the best akhlaq for your family. Sometimes we have the best akhlaq for everybody but our family. Outside the home, they get the best of us. Inside the home, they get Fir'aun. That daily motivation is also provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Name me another entity in this world that gives you that long-term gain and the short-term gain. Nobody. We need Allah for that. Walking with a purpose means that you silence yourself. You're focused on your goal. It doesn't matter. My young guy's in school right now, working towards your degree, working towards becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer, an engineer. After a while, all this stuff outside doesn't matter. You laugh at this trivial stuff that people are getting so consumed with. It doesn't matter to me. I'm focused on my exams. I'm focused on this. I have to do this. I have to do that. Imagine somebody not having that. They're at the whim of everything around them. And that's why the second advice, my last point, and then Masai, waqfuz min sawtik. Lower your voice. What connection is there? What connection, if any, is there between the idea of walking with a purpose and lowering your voice? On the outside, bidhahir, nothing. Seems like two separate advices. It's very much connected. Who are the ones that are the loudest? Who are the ones that have the loudest voices are the ones that want to be heard all the time. Who are the ones that like to shout and be the center of every sort of gathering are the ones that have hollow ones. They have nothing to offer, but they're the loudest. They want everyone to sit there and acknowledge their voice. They like the sound of their own voice. Their voice increases. They're loud, they're obnoxious, they're long. They talk for 45 minutes and you have no idea what they're saying. Like me. 45 minutes, no idea what my topic is. And then there are those that are quiet. They don't feel the need to announce what they're doing. Don't feel the need to stand up and make themselves, visible, announce their arrival. They're busy in their purpose. They're busy on their path. There are people that speak for 5 minutes and they shake you at your core. In the lowest of voices. The moment they open their mouth now, the whole room gets quiet, waiting to see what they're going to say. These are people that have a purpose. They weigh their words very carefully. Because they know everything I say and I do goes back to what? The idea that I have to walk with a purpose. And one of the most beautiful lessons on the day of Ashura is everybody knew their purpose on the day of Ashura. It's a difficult masail. The 8th of Muharram has always been difficult for me. When I used to listen to the majalis and now that I deliver them, this masail and tomorrow's masail to me are very heart-wrenching. And you came here to cry. You rushed here to cry for Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. Just the name now begins to crack the heart's foundation. The commander of the army of Imam Hussein, the Alamdar of the army of Imam Hussein, the son of Ali, the fakhr and pride of Ali. Multiple times he would come to Imam Hussein, and there's lots to recite in the Sahib, I don't have time. I'll recite the Shahadat only. Coming to Imam Hussein, seeing the state that everybody is in, having this purpose that I want to now fulfill that purpose. I want to go and give my life. So he would ask multiple times to Imam Hussein, Mawla, give me ijazat. Let me go. Abbas, you are the commander of my army. Abbas, you are my flag bearer. Abbas, you are my alamdar. With you, the women have hope. With you, the small kids have hope. With you, there's fear in the enemy's eyes. I need you to lead this army. And he would back off. Day of Ashura now is continuing. The Ashab are giving their life. Mawla, give me ijazat. Abbas, you're my commander. Okay. Day of Ashura is continuing. Ashab are gone now. Bani Hashim now begin to go. Mawla, now give me ijazah. Abbas, you're the commander of my army. Abbas, you're my alamdar. There comes a moment now where Abbas says, Mawla, give me ijazat. Imam Hussein says, Abbas, you're the commander of my army. Abbas then looks left and right, says, Mawla, which army am I the commander of? We're not here for that, Abbas. Put your sword away, Abbas. Imagine now the jalal of Abbas on the day of Ashura. The sound of Al-Atash of Sakina, the parched lips of Hussein. If you want to go, Abbas, go and get water for the children. Imam Hussein readies Abul Fazl Abbas to go and get some water for the children. A lot of details I'm leaving out, I know. Mushk of Sakina, the water sack of Sakina in one hand, the alam in the other, Abul Fazl Abbas enters the Maidan of Karbala. So many poets, Urdu, Farsi, English, have all talked about this entry into the battlefield of Abul Fazl Abbas. And they compare it to the parting of the Sea of Musa. The enemies would see this lion, the son of the lion of God, is entering the Maidan of Karbala, they would part. This was that man that made it to the banks of Farat. Abbas made it to the banks of Farat. If Hussein was thirsty, Abbas was thirsty. If the kids were thirsty, Abbas was thirsty. He would make it to the bank of Farat, fill the mushk of Sakina, and that very famous image that you've seen several times of now him having water in the palm of his hands. Abbas, if you were to drink a simple sip of water, nobody would have blamed you, Abul Fazl. Nobody would have blamed you. But my salams to your loyalty, Abul Fazl Abbas. My heart tells me, he told himself, how could I drink when my Sakina is screaming, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. How can I drink a drop of water when my Mawla Hussein's lips are so parched after 3 days of no water and no food? He drops the water, mounts back onto his horse, now begins to ride back towards the Khaymah. His only purpose is get water to Sakina, get water to Sakina, get water to Sakina. When she finds out that my Ammu Abbas is going to the Farat for water, she calls all the small children, come and grab your cups. My Ammu Abbas is getting water. My Ammu Abbas is getting water. You'll have water very soon. I know you're thirsty, but this is my Ammu Abbas. If he says something, he'll deliver. I can see his alam from here, all the kids holding on to their cups with hope. Water is coming, water is coming, water is coming. Abbas now makes his way back to the Khaymah, and all the enemy knows is don't let water get to the Khaymah of Hussein. So now they begin to surround Abbas. They somehow stop him now. They begin to now throw arrows at him. They begin to throw spears at him. There comes a moment, one mal'oon comes from behind him and chops his right arm off. Abbas places the mushk and the alam in the left hand. I have to get water to Sakina. Sakina's watching the alam drop and go back up, drop and go back up. Her heart is fluctuating. Abbas now is running towards the Khaymah. Don't let water get to the Khaymah. Don't let water get to the Khaymah. At that moment, a second mal'oon comes and what chops off the left arm of Abul Fazl Abbas. Now, the mushk in his mouth, the alam between his legs, roaring inside the Maidan of Karbala. At that moment now, when they see this man won't stop, he has a purpose, he has a mission. At that moment, Umar ibn Sa'd says, Hurmala, get your archers ready. Hurmala, line up your archers. Shower the man with arrows. Arrows come towards Abul Fazl Abbas. One hits his leg, he rips it out. One hits his chest, he rips it out. One hits his eye, he keeps going. But the one arrow that broke the man in half was the arrow that hit the mushk of Sakina. Water began to flow. Abbas stopped his horse. Abbas stopped his horse. What does he do? No water for Sakina, no arms to defend himself against the enemy. Ya Allah, the strength of Fazl Abbas, the courage of Abbas. 1,000 salams to you, Abul Fazl. 1,000 salams to you. Abul Fazl Abbas turns the horse around and goes inside the heart of the enemy. Begins to somehow defend himself until that last mal'oon comes and strikes a force on his head so hard it went through his helmet, through his head, to the bridge of his nose. And now Abbas falls from the horse. As-salamu alayka, ya Abba Abdullah. Hussein hears Abbas's roar. He goes roaring inside the Maidan of Karbala. Abbas, what have you done? Abbas's head, Imam Hussein's lap. Mawla, there's dirt in one eye, blood in the other. Can you clean my eyes for me? Hussein now removes the dirt from one eye, removes the blood from the other. Abbas, with your shahadat, you've broken the back of your mawla. Is there any last khaish you have, anything I can do for you? The one thing that he said is, mawla, don't take my body back to the khaymah, please. Leave my body right here at the banks of Farat. Imam Hussein grabs the alam, goes back to the khaymah. Bibi Sakina comes out of the khaymah. She sees the alam, but no alamdar. She understood what happened. Turned towards the maktal. Hey, Ammu Abbas, your Sakina is not thirsty anymore. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein.
Come, please make lines and help us, please.
Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein.
Qamar Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya your loyalty surpass. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Baribahi Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas. You are the Wazi of Al-Kama, the ultimate Sultan of Wafa.
You are the Wazi of Al-Kama, the ultimate Sultan of Wafa.
The ultimate Sultan of Wafa. You are the Qamar-e Bani Hashim. You are the Qamar-e Bani Hashim. Who can match your strength and class? Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Qamar-e Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas. No scholar in history fathom your mystery.
No scholar in history could fathom your mystery.
Could fathom your mystery. Firm as iron, soft as snow. Firm as iron, soft as snow. Shirijri kalbe hassas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Qamar-e Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas.
One Abbasic Arbala versus all of Ashkiya. One Abbasic Arbala versus all of Ashkiya.
Versus all of Ashkiya. Jahi of Imam Izama. Jahi of Imam Izaman, Kujah the Shar of Jinwan Nas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Qamar-e Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas.
Said Abbas unto Hussein, with you Mola till the end.
Your haq is clear as glass.
Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas.
Qamar-e Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas.
Shami Ghariba in Karbala, helpless orphans Ashkiya.
Shami Ghariba in Karbala, helpless orphans Ashkiya.
Helpless orphans Ashkiya. Where are you, Abu Ghazi? Where are you, Abu Ghazi? Cry Sakina, hai pyaas.
Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Qamar-e Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Ya Abbas, oh Ya Abbas. Qamar-e Bani Hashim Abbas, shelter of Zainab Abbas.
Zain Hussein.
Zain Hussein. Zain Hussein. Zain Hussein. Zain Hussein. Zain Hussein. Zain Hussein.
Sakae Sakina Abbas Abbas. Sakae Sakina Abbas Abbas. Sakae Sakina Sakae Sakina. Oh, Zainab ka sahara bas bas saka تماچے یوں ہی کھاتی تھی سکینہ رو رو کے فقط تم کو بلاتی تھی سکینہ آ جاؤ خدا را باس باس سکائے سکینہ باس باس سکائے تھے میری چادر کی محافظ میرے بھیا تم سو گئے میدان میں میرا چھن گیا پردہ سر کھل گیا میرا باس باس سکائے سکینہ باس باس سنتی ہوں کہ دریا پہ ہوا قبضہ تمہارا اے بھیا مگر خیموں تلک پانی نہ آیا پیاسی ہے سکینہ باس باس سکائے سکینہ باس باس سکائے جو کام تمہارا تھا کیا میں نے وہ بھیا ہاں شام غریباں میں حرم کا دیا پہرا دل کہتا تھا میرا باس باس سکائے سکینہ باس باس سکائے اللہ کسی کو بھی دکھائے نہ یہ منظر بے پیدا بہن بھائی کسر نو کیسے نہ پے اور بھائی بھی ایسا باس باس سکائے سکینہ زینب کا سہارا سکائے سکینہ باس باس
حسین 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 یا سیدی یا سیدی یا سیدی